Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Smashy Business Show. My name is Hind Al-Dah, and I'm here with my co-host Abdul Majid Awan. Today is September 20th, 2024. It is a Friday. Weekend is almost here. For today's main news, I think one big thing that happened this morning actually was a new CEO joining, rejoining Nike. So. Elliot Hill will rejoin Nike to succeed John Donahoe as president and CEO. And he was the former senior executive for 32 years at Nike. And he held senior positions in North America and in Europe, where he helped expand the business. But now they're trying to shake up their leadership because of an attempt to revive sales and also rising competition. And after the announcement was made, the company's shares rose 8% in after-hours trading. So just the the idea of the CEO, the former CEO coming back, I guess just shares, I guess, skyrocketed by 8%.
Basically, whenever there is a change in leadership, a lot of people expect that it's going to be something new that's coming with him, new ideas, new brand identity, maybe new products as well. So this is a good move by Nike. Yeah. Let's see. Hopefully in the coming month or in at least 2 weeks, we'll see the effect of this.
Yeah,
I mean, and most probably whenever someone comes, he announces a new line of product or something. So let's stay updated for that also.
Elliot Hill only left in 2020, so it's only been like 4 years since his departure, and apparently it's not been going too well with John Donahue, which is currently going to be the former CEO.
So it's just, I guess, the combination of the boycotts and then other local products coming into local markets. So Nike is a global brand, but Nike obviously has to keep up with every region's ideas. For example, we saw Adidas doing a Saudi-based
partnering with Saudi,
getting shirts out, everything out, which is very local Saudi.
Yeah.
And they partnered with a Saudi artist for all of that. So Nike maybe has to become more local. Mm-hmm. It is a global brand, but it has to become local in terms of its product lines, its ideas, its brand. So let's see. Hopefully, the new guy comes in and brings new ideas for it.
Yeah.
Apart from that, a lot of things are happening in the UAE and the Middle East region. UAE has mandated that at least one woman will be on the board of directors for private firms by 2025. And that is one of the main news that came out in the last few days. Starting January 2025, all private joint stock companies in the UAE will be required to have at least one woman on their board of directors. And this decision was taken by the Ministry of Economy. Earlier in 2018, a directive by His Highness Sheikh Khalifa bin Zayed Al Nahyan mandated that 50% female representation in the Federal National Council should be there. And a 2020 decree also ensured that equal pay will be given to both men and women in the same roles.
Mm-hmm.
So building up on those decrees and laws, this new idea has come in that at least one woman should be on the board of directors. Very good for gender parity in the Arab world, and they're doing really great.
They really are. I want to call it progressive, but at the same time, I think it's really the basic necessity.
Yeah.
I mean, even though the men are more than women, it still stands to reason to have equal opportunities for both genders, and it's a great initiative to mandate at least one woman on a senior executive position in private companies.
So Minister of Economy Abdullah bin Tawq Al-Mari also praised the decision, and he highlighted that it would strengthen corporate governance by leveraging the expertise of the UAE's successful businesswomen. So it's also that women don't just come and come for the sake of gender parity.
No.
They come in with new ideas.
Yeah.
They come in with a new set of thought, and that can always help a company. It will never like ruin a company. It will help a company. New people, new faces, and other genders always have something to give to the company. So it's a good move. Let's see how it happens. Whatever the updates are, obviously, we'll always bring them to you.
Yeah. Let's move on to our main stories of the day. UAE and Japan begin talks on SEPA to boost economic growth. Botum introduces SNPL service, and centimillionaire population in Arab cities to more than double by 2040. So, SEPA agreement, we just talked about the negotiations yesterday with UAE and Australia, and it's been announced that now UAE and Japan are beginning their first initiatives towards a SEPA agreement. And so the SEPA agreement will hopefully strengthen trade and economic ties, and also to support a sustainable economic growth and to also further enhance bilateral relations. The UAE is already the top trader in the Middle East region with Japan. And so it builds on existing trade, with non-oil trade between the two countries reaching $8.1 billion in the first half of 2024. So SEPA will reduce tariffs and also will make trade more efficient and stimulating. It will also stimulate investment opportunities. With SEPA, the whole idea is to basically make it easier for the two countries involved. So it could this agreement could support key sectors like advanced technology, manufacturing, and sustainability, which aligns with both countries' economic goals.
And this is part of the UAE's broader strategy. It's not just that they're doing it randomly. Mm-hmm. Let's do it with this country or that country. They started with the India, and they hope to sign 26 comprehensive partnership agreements. And right now they're at 13 or 14, and some of them are in the negotiation stage. They haven't been ratified right now, but it's happening. And the 26 SEPA target is for 2031. So they'll still have nearly seven years on their hand to reach
plenty
that target.
Of time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're still halfway through it. So yeah, that's good also. And the idea is to basically add 4 trillion dirhams in foreign trade through these SEPA. So as soon as tariffs go down, taxes go down on import and export, obviously more trade will happen and more money will flow in, and obviously more investment will go out. Mm-hmm. So SEPAs are a great thing that UAE is doing. The last one we talked about was with Australia. UAE is the very first country that Australia has signed an agreement with, a trade, bilateral trade agreement with. So that is a win for UAE in the Middle East region. And hopefully and obviously, a lot of countries in the Middle East, especially Saudi Arabia, will follow suit. They have their own set of SEPA. It's not called SEPA, it's called something else.
SEPA is more specifically UAE.
Yes,
related.
But they have, Saudi also has bilateral trade agreements, and they're trying to tap into other markets apart from the main markets that they already trade in. So let's see, hopefully, very good for the region.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Let's move on to our second story of the day. Botum introduces remittances with Send Now, Pay Later service, so SNPL service. AstraTech has launched the first ever SNPL service in the MENA region through the Botum Ultra app. So Botum is mostly known for calls and messaging app or a video call app. And so this SNPL service will allow users to send money internationally very quickly, while at the same time deferring payments to a later date. So this is a good, we all like the idea of paying later or delaying our payments. So
or paying them in installments. For example, you don't have 15,000 dirhams, but you have like 6-7 months to pay it over that period. So it's a very good move by Botum, and it was one of the first SNPL, Send Now, Pay Later, moves by a company in the Middle East. So that's also good. So and also, UAE, we know as UAE is like a hub for expats.
Yeah.
It's like nearly, I guess, 80-85% of people are expats here.
Sure.
And they support families back home, they support brothers and sisters. Sometimes they just send money for gifts also, but they send a lot of money. So there's a lot of remittance involved. A lot of people send money from there to here as well. But mostly the money goes out from this country to different countries. Major regions are Asia, Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Maldives, even Philippines is one of the biggest expat populations, people from Philippines. So all these countries, and I as far as I remember, there's more than 180 nationalities in this country. So always money is going out. So Bohr team coming up with this idea. It's good for, I guess, the middle lower class.
Yes.
Because they sometimes it can be an emergency in your country and you need the money.
And there could be like financial situations at the end of the month where, or at the start of the month where they're not able to really send the money right now. And so they'd rather send it later.
Yeah.
So this app would really help with the plight of people struggling with these financial issues.
And Astrotech obviously is doing good. They have two or three services under them. Botim is the most famous one, again, for video calls, as Hind said. So the founder, Abdullah Abu Sheikh, he's very active on social media and everywhere, and he gives a lot of talks as well. So that guy is coming up with ideas which no one is thinking of. So hopefully we'll see something new. And as far as pay later and before that, buy now, pay later, rent now, pay later, things are concerned, Middle East is doing great in it.
I think these services are getting more popular by the day.
Because, see, there is a demand for them, but there was no, I guess, technological expertise. But now people from this region, especially Egypt and Saudi and UAE, all these three countries, they're getting technologically advanced. The education is getting better, so we see every day a startup in the fintech world which is working on this. It's either it's banking, new kind of banking, or it's buy now, pay later, rent now, pay later. We've talked about a lot of our startups from Saudi, from UAE, and from Egypt, which are working in all these SNPL, BNPL, and all these lines. So you can go back and watch our previous shows on these things, and you'll get all the details about the new apps, the upcoming apps, the old players who are established and are taking over other companies in the other regions.
Yeah, so with remittances from the UAE reaching 6.74 trillion dirhams in 2023, the service is set to streamline transfers to countries like India, Egypt, and Pakistan, again, to ease financial pressures. I think that's the main objective of SNPL services. And so Astrotech will continue to expand financial inclusion through services like SNPL and BNPL. Let's move on to our final story of the day.
It's a very feel-good story.
Yes, so so currently the centimillionaire population in Arab cities is a lot, but it's set to more than double by 2040, and it's especially prominent in cities like Dubai, Abu Dhabi, and Riyadh. And they're emerging as key global hubs with for the ultra-wealthy, with their centimillionaire population set to surge by over 150% by 2040, which is insane. That's an insane jump. So already Dubai is listed as the highest, has seen the highest influx of millionaires this year.
Nearly 6,700.
6,700, yes. And that's almost more than double, or around that number, more than the US, which came in second. And this was a report by Henley & Partners. Same with this millionaire report. Henley & Partners always has these like millionaires. It's very interesting to look at their reports.
So a centimillionaire is basically, the name says it all, a person who has 100 million or more in liquid assets. The basic liquid asset idea is that you have something that you can sell and get 100 million, at least minimum. So centimillionaires, currently Dubai is home to 212 centimillionaires, which puts it on the 15th spot in the top 50 list. So 15 countries which are above that are obviously some other countries. We'll give you the names, no worry. But Saudi Arabian Riyadh is on 51st place, and Abu Dhabi follows on the 50th spot. So the top 50, Abu Dhabi is there on the 15th spot with 212 centimillionaires.
Wow.
That means they have nearly 200 million with some people right now. So, yeah, that's a thing. The good part about Dubai is that even the report that we talked about, it focused on Dubai, that Dubai is going to attract most of the millionaires.
Yeah, and I think we can attribute it to this to, of course, the tax-free. Well, not it's not necessarily tax-free environment.
But income is tax-free, but corporate profits are now being taxed a little bit.
But compared to perhaps where they move in from, it's not comparable. Another thing is the safety of the UAE. I think safety is number one priority for all people. And so I guess that makes it even a more attractive destination. But it's funny because when you think of Dubai, you do think of this luxury city with like millionaires with their Bugattis or Lamborghinis. Yeah. But now Abu Dhabi and Riyadh are following Dubai on that list. So it's very nice to see more Arab cities following suit.
Yesterday we had our industry event, the very first industry event by our parent company, Augustus. The discussion that I overheard was how Riyadh has changed over the last 10 years in Saudi Arabia. Riyadh was considered a very conservative environment, but Riyadh is coming up. The Riyadh Expo 2030 is in Riyadh. A lot of people talk about Jeddah, that it's the gateway to Saudi Arabia, and there's also a physical gateway in Jeddah that you can go and see. But Riyadh is turning out to be the new player. It's turning out to be the Dubai of Saudi Arabia. Yeah. And everyone is talking about Riyadh now. Everything is happening in Riyadh. The Riyadh season is happening. Jeddah season happened. The numbers I saw, they were very complicated to understand. But Jeddah season is like the Dubai shopping summer festival.
The festival.
So Jeddah season happened. The numbers, when compared to the Riyadh season, which is happening, Riyadh season has double numbers of visitors, of shopping, money-wise, everything. So Riyadh is like the Dubai of Saudi Arabia right now. And Riyadh was listed as the 51st country on the list. The funny thing is, Dubai beat a lot of cities which everyone knows. One of them is Sydney in Australia. Dubai beat Sydney. Dubai beat Zurich. Dubai beat Monaco.
Monaco, that's really interesting. Because when you think of Monaco, you're like, oh, it's Europe's most richest place, or like the most expensive place to go to. So the fact that Dubai beat Monaco in this list by Henley. Yeah.
And then there's Milan and then Miami. So it's beating a lot of big cities. It's not just like beating some smaller city. For some of the biggest names, when you think of cities, when you're playing name, place, animal thing even.
Yeah, exactly.
Biggest names that you can think of, Dubai is beating them.
Yeah, and so globally, the centimillionaire club has grown by 54% over the past decade, which now includes 29,350 individuals. We have the exact number. And so New York leads with like the most centimillionaires, a total of 744, followed by other areas in the United States like the Bay Area and Los Angeles.
Yeah, so these are like the top three from the U.S. Obviously, U.S. is still the money magnet right now, but people are moving away from a lot of European countries and America because of the taxes involved. I also saw this, that the Gulf cities, these three Gulf cities, Dubai, Abu Dhabi and Riyadh, along with Huangzhou, Shenzhen, Taipei and Bengaluru in Asia, Bengaluru is in India basically, are identified as the centimillionaire hotspots. So they're projected to experience the fastest growth in super wealthy populations. So the wealth is shifting from the west towards east now. That's the main idea of this report. We talked about a lot of things. Sorry for that. The season is changing. A lot of people are getting sick.
We're all getting the flu.
We talked about a lot of stuff. Centimillionaires, we talked about they're going to double up in Dubai, Abu Dhabi and Riyadh. We also talked about Botim now introducing SNPL services, which is Send Now, Pay Later, will help the expat population in the UAE and in the region. And they can now send money if there's an emergency and then pay it in installments. And we also talked about how UAE has mandated women, one woman at least, on the board of directors for private firms. And they have to do it before 2025 starts in January. So they have like 2-3 months now, 4 months to not to be exact, like 3-4 months. So yeah, they can do that. So thank you for joining us on the show.
Yeah.
One thing, I forgot, the UAE president, His Highness, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan. He is going to the US on Monday. And what will happen is that he's going to discuss economy and technology specifically. The interesting part is, it is the very first time in the history that a UAE president or a sitting UAE leader, again, UAE president, is going to the White House.
Oh, wow.
It has never happened in history. His Highness has met Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They hosted Joe Biden as well in the UAE, but never in the history of the UAE, no UAE sitting president. Former presidents have gone, sitting UAE leader has never gone to the
That's
White House,
exciting.
So it's very historic.
And I think we can expect to hear a lot about the US and UAE's cooperation with the advancements in AI, since they're talking about tech. So I'm excited for next week.
So it's mainly two topics, economy and technology.
Yeah.
So economy, we know it's always trade, this, that.
Mm-hmm.
But technology being the second most, like one of the important topics, is very good. And we've always talked about how UAE, the region, is working on AI and tech development.
Yes.
So let's see. We'll tell you about more about it on Monday when he visits and we get more updates.
We'll get you more updates if you follow us on all the streaming platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Anghami. Again, we post on all social media platforms like TikTok, Instagram, X, Facebook, and YouTube. We also have a daily newsletter that comes out every morning. So thank you so much for joining us on the Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Gustus Media Podcast Network. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.